أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you are well aware that we were talking about the most significant differences between this world and the life hereafter. It was mentioned that there are some three basic differences between this world and the life hereafter. One of them was this, that this world is mortal and the life hereafter is immortal. The second difference was this, that in this world there is a mixture of sadness, happiness, but in the life hereafter, he who enters paradise, he will be having pure blessings. There will be no talk of afflictions, there will be no talk of sufferings. And he who has entered the hell, indeed, he will be suffering pure afflictions. There will be no talk of blessings. The third basic and fundamental difference between this world and the life hereafter was the relationship between this world and the life hereafter is existential, not that of conventional. So today, by the grace and will of Almighty Allah, we are going to talk about the impacts of faith or belief and disbelief in one's adversity and prosperity. In another word, is one's faith and belief effective in his prosperity? Or is one's disbelief effective in his adversity or not? What is the role, what is the part that can be played by one's belief and one's disbelief? Today, God willing, we are going to touch and treat this important and fundamental question. But prior touching this, let's have a very brief background of this topic. You know that historically talking, this topic traces back to those early days of Islam. We are one of the Muslim factions called Khawarij. They were of the belief, they were of the idea that it is our action that makes us prosperous. Actions play a very important role in one's prosperity. He who commits major sins, he who commits sins, indeed he will be deprived of paradise. Though he might bear firm faith in Almighty Allah, in the Resurrection Day, in the Holy Quran. The criterion for them was action. As this adverb says, actions speak louder than words. According to them, everyone's actions translate his inner faith. If a Muslim committed major or minor sins, at least according to them, those who commit major sins, they will be deprived of paradise. They would not be able to achieve Almighty Allah's pleasure in the life hereafter. So according to them, what mattered most, that was the actions, not words, not faith, not belief. Contrary to Khawarij, another faction came into being called Murji'ah. The meaning is those who are hopeful. According to this second group, or according to the second, we can say, factions understanding, faith was very much important, not action. It was faith, it was belief that mattered most. According to them, he who believed in Almighty Allah's existence, he who believed in Almighty Allah's words, he who believed in our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household's prophetic mission, he who believed in the resurrection day, he was the person who would win prosperity. In this belief of him would win him success in the life hereafter. Though in action, in practice, he might fail to imply or to apply all those do's and don'ts of religion. So according to the second faction, I mean Murji'ah, it was one's belief in one's inner conviction that mattered most, and it was the criteria for one's success. So these two factions' ideas were dominant in the Islamic world. And later on, we will talk, inshallah, that neither of them is true. Neither those who overemphasize actions not believe, and nor those who believe that one's faith would win him success, not actions. None of them is true. Because according to the Shi'ites, that their teachings have been taken and have been derived from the Quranic verses in that of the infallible Imam's guidelines, both faith and actions should accompany one another. Actions in belief or faith are two important and essential wings, that a bird can fly by these two wings. If one of them was failing, if one of them was hurt or damaged, indeed the bird cannot fly. Prior to touching this in detail again, there are some complementary points that I do request you, dear listeners, to pay precise heed to these important points. Prior to touching our main theme, we are going to elaborate around so that when we are talking about belief and disbelief, it should be made clear. What do we mean by belief? What do we mean by disbelief? In another word, according to the Muslim theologians, is it Muslims only that they will achieve salvation? If only belief is important? Or it is also the rest of the disbelievers that they will also win Almighty Allah's salvation? If actions are very much important, he who believes that faith is very much important, according to him, every Muslim, making no difference, he has committed sins or not, he has committed minor or major sins, he will finally enter paradise. And according to him, a non-Muslim or a disbeliever, a polytheist, an atheist will never ever be able to enter paradise because of his disbelief in Almighty Allah's existence and Almighty Allah's words. But according to the person who says that actions are very much important, according to him, everyone, including the disbelievers, will be able to enter paradise. Everyone, including the polytheists, the atheists, will enter paradise because, according to him, what matters most, that is actions, not belief, not conviction, not only inner, we can say, confessions. What matters most, it is that a person should do best deeds. Not only has to be belief in Almighty Allah's existence, but also the human or the creatures of Almighty Allah should be served by him. So there are two important approaches. Now let's see, what does belief mean? What does disbelief mean? Is it enough that a believer should only believe in Almighty Allah and then he will be entering paradise? Or not? Besides belief, there should be somehow best deeds. His faith should be accompanied by his best deeds. Otherwise, he will not be able to enter paradise. What is the response to this question? So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, let's start with definition of belief. Belief means an inner conviction, a status that is accompanied by one's knowledge and conviction, by one's comprehension and his loyalty and commitment. The term mu'min can be applied for a person that he not only should believe in doctrines, in religious dogmas, in religious do's and don'ts, but also his actions should translate his words. His actions should signify his inner conviction. So, from the Islamic perspective, mu'min is a person who should believe in Almighty Allah's existence, in Almighty Allah's divine prophets, and in the resurrection day. He who believes all these three essential elements and components which constitute one's belief and faith, he is called mu'min. But again, besides his belief, besides his acceptance, besides his confession, besides his profession for these three elements, his actions should translate his inner conviction. It means he has to be loyal. He has to be committed to the values Islam has recognized. Almighty Allah has outlined for him. His life should be within the framework of these do's and don'ts of Almighty Allah. Otherwise, if his actions run counter to his inner conviction, again, according to us, he cannot be truly called a firm believer, a person who firmly believes in Almighty Allah. So it matters most that it should be kept in mind. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, in one's belief, knowledge alone is not sufficient. We should not only have knowledge, but also we should have commitment. In those who do not abide by their knowledge, those whose words do not come in the practical life, they cannot be called pious people. You know that during the Musa alayhi salam, there were people who knowingly and intentionally knew that he is the prophet. He is, yes, Almighty Allah's messenger. But they failed to do, and they failed to comply with their understanding. Almighty Allah says,
وَجَّحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ.
Though their hearts had this belief, though they were certainly sure, though they were having this understanding that indeed Musa alayhi salam is the divine prophet, but they could not accompany in the practical life.
وَجَّحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسَهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا.
Then says, Almighty Allah says, then see what will be the aftermath of those wrongdoers. It means not only one should believe, but also his words should accompany his belief. He who only believes in his heart, but does not do in practical life anything that should translate his word, that should translate his belief, indeed, he cannot be truly called a pious and a faithful and a truly believer one. The term disbeliever itself includes many branches. Sometimes the disbelievers disbelieve the truth and disagree the truth intentionally and knowingly, and with hostility, with animosity. So indeed, their aftermath is clear, they will enter hell. But sometimes the disbeliever are those people who have not had the name of Islam, or who have not had the truth, or they have had the truth, but they do not give this probability that they are wrong in their faith, or they have wrongfully remained loyal to their forefathers' religion. So there are many branches of disbelievers. What matters most is that this disagreement with the truth should not be out of one's obduracy. It should not stem out of one's obduracy and stubbornness. Yes, Almighty Allah for sure would forgive those who have not had the truth, but they have remained loyal to their forefathers' religion. Almighty Allah would give chastisement to those who have had the truth, who knowingly and intentionally launched campaigns against Almighty Allah's final religion, I mean Islam. Their faith is gloomy, their faith is catastrophic. They will not escape Almighty Allah's painful chastisement, because they knowingly and intentionally have stood against Almighty Allah's word. So, what here I mean, it was this, that disbeliever can have many forms. It takes many forms. It takes many shapes. But the obdurate disbelievers' entrance in hell is something certain. But the rest of the people, Almighty Allah knows well how to treat them and how to judge. And there are many traditions that the Almighty Allah would put them in trial there too. If they could pass those trials, indeed they will enter paradise. Otherwise, they will be thrown in the hell. So, respectable audience, Another important issue is, what is the borderline between belief and disbelief? As it was implicitly mentioned that, he who believes in Almighty Allah, he who believes in the prophetic mission of the holy prophets, and then he believes the life hereafter, this is called a pious man or a believer. He who disagrees with one of these three important components, or he believes in something that should entail the negation of one of these three important components, he will be labeled as disbeliever. For example, let me give you an example, that if a person does not directly negate the hereafter, but he says something that should run counter to the existence of the life hereafter, indeed, his words, and he will be called as disbeliever, because his words indirectly have run counter to the existence of the life hereafter. But if he does not disagree with the existence of life hereafter, but he disagrees with those details of the life hereafter, indeed, such a person cannot be labeled as disbeliever. So the borderline between believer and disbeliever, or faithful and unfaithful person, is that he should be believing in these three important pillars. And those important pillars are Almighty Allah or monotheism, the second prophethood or prophetic mission of the divine prophets, and the third, the life hereafter. He who believes all these three important components, he is called mu'min. He cannot be labeled as disbeliever. And these three important components would win him prosperity. He who negates either of these three important components, he will be labeled as a disbeliever. This is the borderline between believer and disbeliever, or faithful and unfaithful. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, another important point that should be mentioned as preliminary points, that is, what is the difference between jurisprudential disbelief and that of theological disbelief? From jurisprudential point of view, he who confesses or he who professes the shahadatain, that I bear witness to Almighty Allah's oneness and to the prophetic mission of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, he is called Muslim. He cannot be called as non-Muslim. He cannot be called as disbeliever. So jurisprudentially talking, so it includes a lot of people as believer, even those hypocrites. Jurisprudentially talking, he who professes or he who bear witness to Almighty Allah's oneness and the prophethood of our Holy Prophet, he is called Muslim, even though he does not bear inner conviction, even though his actions should not translate his words. Jurisprudentially talking, it does not matter most that his actions should speak louder than his words. No, he who believes, so that is enough. He who bears witnesses to Almighty Allah's oneness and to the divine prophetic mission of our Holy Prophet, he is called Muslim. But theologically talking, the hypocrites cannot be included in the realm of believer. Theologically talking, we say that not only one should believe in Almighty Allah's words, but also he should practice them in his practical life. So what about the hypocrites? Since hypocrites do not firmly believe, since hypocrites do not firmly and sincerely and honestly believe in Almighty Allah's oneness, indeed, they will be excluded from the realm of Islam. They will be excluded from the realm of being faithful people. So there lies a big difference between jurisprudential disbelief and that of theological disbelief. Theologically talking, hypocrites are disbelievers. But jurisprudentially talking, hypocrites cannot be labeled as non-Muslim or as disbeliever, because apparently he bears witnesses to Almighty Allah's oneness. But theologically, where everyone's words and actions are important, hypocrites cannot be included in the realm of believer. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, today we could only touch the preliminary points that matter most in our discussion. In the discussion of ours was the effects of belief and disbelief in one's prosperity and adversity. In the next episode, inshallah, we will be covering this important and noteworthy discussion. May Almighty Allah bless us all a happy life in this world and a happier in the next. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. God bless you.